which I think I said earlier is service. Service. It's an area in the church which is it can be ignored. It can be something that's not picked up on. And it's not picked up on to the detriment of the church, because what happens when it's not picked up on is that the church becomes self-satisfied. It becomes self-centered. And we'll see a bit more about that a little later. So we're going to look today at this purpose for the church. Service. Service is to minister. You know, it's not just the minister in the church who's ministers. If you know Christ, then you're a minister. You are uniquely built to serve, uniquely built to minister. And specific areas of ministry are formed. If we don't do that, if we don't pick up on that, then we'll end up just sitting in our pews soaking up. We learn a lot about what we're called to do, but spending little time doing it. We'll change our focus from what does God want me to do in order to carry out his mission, to I want what I want. And that can never be the way in his kingdom. Someone's got a little slip, mark number one. Can you stand up and read that out loud, please? Can I ask you just to turn to the congregation so everybody here is not just me? Hallelujah. Thank you. So Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. He gave his life as a ransom for many. And that's the charge which is laid on us all. That's a charge which is laid on us all. So I really want to emphasize this, this purpose of service. How do we fulfill it? The construction of the sermon is a little bit different this morning, because you're going to help me with it in these numerous readings. So stick with it, please. We cover a lot of ground. So every Christian is a servant. Every Christian is a minister. Somebody's got an item, mark number two. Jesus came to serve, and we too are called to serve. We are all called to serve God in some way because of what he's done for us. Someone's got number three. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. It's not often anybody says that to us, is it? You know, you don't go through the day, or you go to work, or wherever you are, and somebody says, you're really special. You're a royal person. But you know, that's what God in Jesus says to us. Just look at the people around you. Just have it, just swivel your head around and realize that you're in the presence of a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Hallelujah. The people of God's own possession. We're called to serve God in some ways. Each one with a unique ministry. A ministry which has been prepared for us even before we were born. A unique ministry. We're called to serve God in some way. Someone's got number four. All called in different ways, all gifted in different ways, but all called to fulfill a unique calling. That should make us feel special. See, the work of service can be translated to the work of ministry. You know, it's your church leaders, it's the church ministers, it's the church teachers are the ones who are to help prepare people for ministry, to bring them to maturity so that they can go out and fulfill the unique calling that God has placed upon them and built into them as well. Someone's got number five. We are all made for good works. We are made by his workmanship, created in Christ for good works. He's prepared those works for us beforehand. Have we discovered that unique calling on our lives? Are you praying about it? Sister this morning just said, you said that she was doing that this morning, wondering what her unique ministry was, wondering what her purpose in the church was. Continue to pray because God will reveal that. God will reveal what your unique gifts are, what your unique purpose is. He will help you walk in that way that he's prepared for you. You know, there are different ways in which we are to serve Jesus. I'm going to read you something which really touched me when I discovered it. It's about William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. He was interviewed towards the end of his life. And this is what he said. He said, "God had all there was of me. There may have been others who had greater plans, greater opportunities than I, but from the day I got a vision of what God would do, I made up my mind God would have all there was of William Booth." Well, I made up my mind that God will have all of William Booth. There's a huge challenge for us there. Can we actually say that? God will have all of me. Will he have all of me? See, ministry is using whatever God has given me to serve him and the needs of others. That's what ministry is. And there may be better people in worldly terms, better equipped, more qualifications, greater talent. God's not interested in that. He's just interested in all of you and all of me. The fullness of me, the fullness of you. That's what he's interested in. God's given us all that and he expects us to use it. Maybe we need encouragement. Someone's got number six. This is something that we don't always want to hear, but it's there and we can't avoid it. When we're called to meet our Maker face to face, we will be called to account. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes in the midst of a God who forgives everything and a God who blesses it despite what we do, we forget that there will come a day when we will meet him face to face. I don't know about you, but I worry about coming before him and finding my face flushing up. Is I realize I haven't given all of me to him. I realize that. I'm not there, but it's my aspiration to be in a good place when I meet him face to face. I was speaking to a young lady some months ago who had given her life to Jesus a long time ago. But she was in great distress because she had let him down in many different ways. And she was just crushed. You know, and that might, and perhaps should be all of us at some time when we realize how far from God's glory we fall. But as I talked to this young lady, I felt the Spirit saying to me, tell this lady that her failure should not be a millstone round her neck, but should be a launching pad, a springboard into her future with him. So let not our failures condemn us. Let them be a springboard into doing all that God wants us to be. We're called to minister. We're called to service. And every ministry is important. Every ministry is important. 1 Corinthians 12, I'm sure you've read it many times, where Paul talks about the kingdom. The kingdom and the work of God needing a body. And all parts of that body are important. That the leg can't do very much without the arm, and the arm can't do very much about the head, and you know the portion of scripture I'm talking about. You see, we need to realize that God places the members, his members, as he wants them. And if God has placed you, then you are important. You are where, just where God needs you to be at this point in time. That's been part of the body. And all parts of the body are important. And if one part of the body quits working, parts of the body have to work extra hard to compensate. The size of the ministry, the size of the service is not important. Scripture says, prove yourself in small things and greater things will come your way. I'm sure there are those of you this morning who have found that out to be true. Someone's got item number seven. If it's to serve, serve. If it's to teach, teach. If it's to encourage, then encourage. If it's to give, then give. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Whatever your gift is, give it back to him. Give it back to him. See, that passage that a young man just read, it shows us that it's important for each of us to give our gifts in service to Jesus. We all have different gifts. Just last week, somebody said they didn't know what their gift was. There are many ways of finding out what your gift is. Obviously, you pray about it. You can do some exercises, not the end of it. It's not the be all and end all of it. But one good way of knowing what your gift is, if you're confused about it, ask someone who is spiritually mature. Ask somebody who knows you and say, what do you think my gift is? You'd be surprised how other people notice things in you that you may not have noticed in yourself. Ask somebody, what do you think my gift is? But each gift is dependent on the others. Each gift is dependent on the others. I was thinking about that as I was driving here this morning. You know, your gift might be in cleaning the church. But that gift is of little value and importance if nobody brings people in. And likewise, if people bring them in, let's say that's an evangelist's job to bring them in, but there's nobody in the church who will then teach them to maturity, doesn't hang together. So each ministry is dependent on the other. Someone's got number 8. Each gift and each area of service is dependent on the other. And as I've already said, if somebody brings people to the church, but they don't have the people then who are gifted in teaching or hospitality, after a while, that newcomer will say, well, this is not for me. This is not a place where I feel comfortable. This is not a place where I feel blessed. This is not a place where I can grow. You lose those new people. Or they'll not grow in Christ. Someone's got number 9. This is the last one. 'However we exercise our gift, we do it in the strength of God. We do it in the strength of God. And those gifts are spread around in perhaps in areas that we never think of. Some years back, I spent some time in Brazil, and I was invited to a home. I spent a long weekend with them. And the lady, I only ever saw her briefly. She made beautiful meals, and the meals were brought out, and she didn't eat with us either. And eventually I said to her, why do you spend all your time in the kitchen? She says, because while I'm serving my family, I'm serving God. Those words, I never forgot those words. While I'm serving my family, I'm serving God. That was her ministry. That was her ministry. So our service will take us into all sorts of realms. Some we will know of, some we will not know of. But God supplies our needs. And when one part of the body doesn't function, the rest of the body is affected. I asked you to look at each other before, and I just ask you to look at each other again. And you notice that you're all made differently, in many different ways. Do you often wonder why God didn't make us just all the same? Why didn't God just make us the same, give us all the same abilities? Why didn't he do that? Well, clue to those, the answer to that is the golden Psalm 139, of course, and where we're all wonderfully made. And you see, God knows that each one of us is unique. There are many different jobs that need to be done for the work of the kingdom to get done. And as you looked around at each other, you noticed that everyone was a different shape. And I want to leave you with something, an acronym is where a word where you take one letter of each, a letter from each line to say something. So I want to take the word shape. This is how we determine our ministries. And Rick Warren uses this technique. He uses this word shape as an acronym for the S of shape. What's your spiritual gift? How has God gifted me? That's the S of shape. The H of shape, heart. What's my passion? What's the stuff that really gets my adrenaline going? I don't know why Newcastle United just suddenly popped it in my head there, but some of us know what I'm talking about. What's the passion that gets us going? What do I love to do? The A of shapes. What's my abilities? What natural gifts have I have? What spiritual gifts has God given me? Where do my tattles lie? The P of shape. Personality. Where does my personality best suit me to serve? We're all made differently. Where does my personality best suit me to serve? And the E of shape, experience. What experiences have I had? What has life taught me so far that I can now use in the building of his kingdom? We all have a different shape. But Isaiah 64:8 says this, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter." And all of us are the work of your hand. All of us unique, because we're the unique work of his hand. We're all different because God made us that way. And of course, our personalities will affect how we use our gifts. Our passion will affect what you place as important. But too many times we do things backwards. We feel that since we do not know what our gifts are, we end up doing nothing. We think that we can take a test, or we can find out what our shape really is. But the best way to find out what your gifts and talents and heart is to serve in many different areas. Serve in many different areas, and then you will settle into what you're good at and what God has called you to do. So I want to try to wrap this up now and really come back to where I started. That if the church is not a church that focuses on serving others, then what will happen to us is that we will become friendly to ourselves. We will take care of ourselves and we'll focus our resources on ourselves. And if as a collective body of believers we are not each focused on serving or some area of ministry, then the whole body will suffer. If I have abilities that I will not use for the body of Christ, then I'm hurting the body of Christ. We need each other and every part of it to be functioning. God didn't call us to sit on the bench. He called us to find a position on the field and to play the game. And it's my prayer this morning that every member of Sandy Baptist Church is an active part of the body, that each one of you will find and serve the body of Christ in this place in some way. Remember that we are to be like Jesus. Jesus came to serve. He came to seek and to save those who were lost. And I want to leave you with a brief little story. I find there's often great truths in these things. It's a story that comes from the end of World War I. And it's about Herbert Hoover, who later was to become President of the United States. And he led the Allies' relief in Europe after the war. That's First World War. And in doing so, he kept hundreds of thousands from starving. And a new word entered the Finnish language. And in Finland, to hoover means to be kind, to help. And that leaves us with a challenge. The challenge is that if someone coined a word from your name, what would it be? Would it signify character? Would it signify helpfulness? Would it signify cheerfulness? Or would it signify something that we would prefer it didn't? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for our salvation. But we're not called to just bask in the warm rays of the cross. We're called to move away and to serve you. Lord, forgive us when we don't. Forgive us when we back away. Forgive us when we're not all that you want us to be. But Lord, don't give up on us. Plant in our hearts the aspiration to be more like you. And Lord, we recognize that it's a lifetime journey. It's not overnight. But as William Booth said, help us find a place where we can honestly say, Lord, you have all of me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.